Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be reading the San Angelo Standard Times articles for the week of Sunday, August 23rd, 2020. I'm reading on Thursday, August 27th. I'll begin with the most recent articles. COVID-19 in San Angelo. Deaths in Tom Green County up to 54. The San Angelo Health Department has confirmed additional COVID-19-related deaths in Tom Green County. The city announced the deceased was a Tom Green County woman in her 50s. This brings the total COVID-19-related death count in Tom Green County to 54, 40 from Tom Green County and 14 from other counties. As of August 27th, City of San Angelo, 3,158 positive cases reported, 20 new positive cases, 34 currently hospitalized, 54 deaths, 40 Tom Green County residents, 14 out-of-county residents. Tom Green County grand jury indicts man accused of breaking into residence to assault woman, by Elena Edgen. A man has been indicted by a Tom Green County grand jury after a couple's residence was broken into and investigators discovered he planned to commit another felony. On June 2, 2019, the suspect entered a residence at an undisclosed location and intended to sexually assault a woman who lived there, according to an indictment released Thursday, August 27th. Ernest Mack Hunter III, 41, was arrested by San Angelo police Wednesday under the indicted charges of attempt to commit sexual assault and burglary of a habitation intending other felony. The burglary charge is a first-degree felony punishable by up to 99 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. The attempt charge is a third-degree felony punishable by up to 10 years in jail. Hunter also was arrested on suspicion of violating parole in a Midland County assault on a family household member with a previous conviction, according to online jail records. Jail records listed Hunter as a Midland resident, but the indictment listed a Dallas address. He was released from Tom Green County Detention Center on Thursday on a $60,000 bond, according to online jail records. A court date has been tentatively set for 8:30 a.m., October 7, 2020, in the 340th District Court, according to online jail records. The following articles I'll be reading were published Wednesday, August 26th. Census Bureau personnel will be knocking on doors. Here's how to tell they are official, by Elena Edgen. U.S. Census Bureau personnel will be visiting homes and knocking on doors to help residents complete their 2020 questionnaire in the coming weeks, according to the San Angelo Police Department. They will be conducting the 2020 Census Field Data Collection Operations, which will end by September 30th. Residents can confirm a Bureau employee by their census photo identification. These employees will also have an item with the Bureau's logo. Items include an iPad, iPhone, laptop, or a black canvas bag. Angelo State University named one of the nation's best healthcare administration schools, by Elena Edgen. Angelo State University made another national list Wednesday, 2 days after the university was named a best college by the Princeton Review. On Wednesday, August 26th, the university announced it had been included in the 55 best healthcare administration schools and colleges in the U.S. by the University HQ Higher Education Resource Guide. ASU ranked 24th on the list, which included Texas Women's University and Baylor University. Angelo State offers perhaps the best value in healthcare administration education available in the state of Texas, the guide said. The university's healthcare administration program was mentioned in the ranking, according to the release. Students in the program, upon finishing, meet the requirements to pursue a Master of Business Administration or Master of Health Administration degree. The rankings are determined by information from the National Center for Education Statistics, College Scoreboard, Bureau of Labor Statistics, and PayScale.com. Factors include admission, retention, and graduation rates, tuition costs and percentage of students receiving financial aid, student loan default rates, available degree programs and available online programs, number of diplomas awarded, and average starting salaries of graduates. Hurricane Laura evacuees seeks shelter in San Angelo, by Colin Murphy. As Hurricane Laura barrels toward the Texas coast as a powerful Category 4, some coastal residents living in its path are seeking shelter in San Angelo. Galveston residents Joe and Barbara Willis, along with their Chihuahua, Rocco, have family in the San Angelo area, and when meteorologists predicted the storm to strengthen and shift toward the Texas coast, they decided to evacuate. Joe Willis said before the updated predictions, they were ready to weather the storm at home. "We went through all the protocols to prepare the house," Willis said. "Initially, the plan was to ride the storm out. The early expectations of the storm was it was going to hit east of us. The storm has moved a bit west, which meant it was going to hit Galveston. Tuesday morning, we were informed of the mandatory evacuation and that we needed to go. My wife's brother lives here in San Angelo, so we asked if we could come hang out and get away from the storm." It was not the first time the couple has had to evacuate from their home in Galveston. Having just moved to the coastal town in 2017, the Willises were promptly caught in the crosshairs of Hurricane Harvey, which made landfall on August 26, 2017, as a Category 3 storm. Willis said hurricanes are just part of the package that comes along with life on the Gulf Coast. "We evacuated to my son's house in Pearland, Texas, for Harvey," Willis said. "That's part of life down there. There are times when you will have to do this kind of thing. The hope is we won't catch the full brunt of the storm, but we are just grateful to be here." Tom Green County jury and pretrials canceled for September due to COVID-19, by Elena Edgen. Jury trials and pretrials have been canceled through September, according to a social media post by Tom Green County District Courts. Around 2 p.m. Wednesday, August 26th, the Tom Green County District Courts announced that pretrials and jury trials are canceled through September 2020. This does not apply to county court at law or justice of the peace courts, according to the post. Affidavit states San Angelo woman puts out fire in backyard started by neighbor, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man was arrested Monday night after a woman noticed her neighbor lit her storage building on fire, according to an arrest affidavit. On Monday, August 24th, police and the fire department responded to a fire in the 800 block of Jones Street in northeast San Angelo. A woman told officers she saw her neighbor, who had lived next door for 30 years, lean over the backyard fence and light her storage shed on fire, records state. She identified the neighbor while he was being arrested. The man declined to comment on the investigation when asked by police, according to the affidavit released Wednesday. The building had fresh char and burn markings on the southeast corner. Investigators also found a burnt rag or washcloth next to the shed, records state. Sean Joe Castilla, 39, was arrested on Monday of arson of a building, habitat, vehicle, recklessly causing damage. He remained in Tom Green County Detention Center in lieu of a $10,000 bond listed as of 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. Man injured in San Angelo shooting. Police ask for public's help finding suspects, by Elena Edgen. A 20-year-old man has been injured early Wednesday during a shooting in San Angelo, according to a San Angelo police news release. Around 1:30 a.m. Wednesday, August 26th, police responded to multiple reports of shots fired near the 2400 block of North Lily Street. Police also went to Shannon Medical Center in response to a man who had been shot, according to the release. The man was shot during an altercation between two other men in an apartment parking lot in the 2400 block of North Lily Street. This was not a random act of violence, and the investigation is ongoing, according to the release. Police are searching for information about the two men. If anyone knows the men or their location, contact the Criminal Investigations Division at 325-657-4264. People can tip anonymously by texting TIPSAPD to 888-777 and follow the prompts. The articles I'll be reading now were published Tuesday, August 25th. San Angelo is on the front lines for a coronavirus vaccine, thanks to a former resident. Area residents can volunteer for trials happening at Benchmark Research. By John Tufts. Mark Lacey believes a vaccine for COVID-19 will be produced within the next 12 months, and San Angelo will have played a crucial role in its development and possibly in its discovery. Lacey, who was born and raised in San Angelo and who graduated from Central High School in 1978, is now the CEO of Benchmark Research, a clinical research company based in Austin. The company has 5 locations across the United States, which include Fort Worth, San Angelo, New Orleans, and Sacramento. In July, Benchmark Research began clinical trials for a COVID-19 vaccine in the Concho Valley, in which up to 300 residents have so far participated. Lacey hopes to eventually have 10,000 participants from the San Angelo area to help researchers develop a vaccine to the coronavirus. "We're one of the only companies in the United States that are involved in all of the trials that the federal government has considered to have the best promise to produce a COVID-19 vaccine," Lacey said. "It makes me very proud that San Angelo can participate in possibly changing the world." Helping to change the world through medical research is something San Angelo residents have already done, whether they're aware of it or not. In its 20-plus years of operation, Benchmark Research's past studies have investigated vaccines for the H1N1 influenza during the 2009 H1N1 pandemic, as well as the Ebola virus during the 2014 Ebola virus epidemic. "San Angelo is helping to find medicine to keep people healthier longer," Lacey said. San Angelo residents have participated in at least 20 groundbreaking studies that are saving millions and millions of lives. Other studies Benchmark Research is conducting include combating bioterrorism. Lacey said San Angelo is one of 3,200 cities in the United States that have participated in ways to counteract smallpox and other deadly pathogens that could be released during a terrorist attack. "To do this kind of research and to find a vaccine for COVID-19, Lacey stressed the need to have volunteers who are willing to participate in clinical trials. "It's critical we have volunteers," Lacey said. "It's very likely that within the next 12 months, we will find a vaccine, and San Angelo has an opportunity to be a part of the solution." Lacey said residents living in San Angelo have participated in more than 200 vaccine studies, and those who do so are paid for their time. Compensation varies according to the level of participation, but Lacey said the maximum amount is up to $1,500 for each participant. "How close are we to discovering a vaccine?" While researchers are getting closer to discovering a vaccine for COVID, it's too soon to presume victory that a vaccine is imminent, according to a group of USA Today panelists who work in medicine, virology, immunology, logistics, and supply chain issues. "There's a possibility none of the current vaccine candidates will pan out. The typical success rate for vaccine development is 6%, according to The Lancet, a British medical journal. "We simply cannot assume the outcome at this stage," said Dr. Kelly Moore, Associate Director of Immunization Education with the Immunization Action Coalition. With at least 10 possible vaccines now in the final Phase 3 clinical testing stage, two looming questions remain. Will they work, and will they work long enough? There's no data to show that any of the candidate vaccines provide immunity to COVID-19. That's what Phase 3 clinical trials test for, which are now only starting. This is a new virus, and we are just beginning to unravel the protective immunity, said Prakash Nagarkoti, an immunologist and vice president for research at the University of South Carolina. Who can volunteer for COVID-19 trials in San Angelo? Officials with Benchmark Research said that before joining a clinical trial, a participant must qualify for the study. Some research studies seek participants with illnesses or conditions to be studied in the clinical trial, while others need healthy participants. For COVID-19 vaccine studies, Benchmark Research officials said they are looking for participants who are highly likely to be or have been exposed to COVID-19, including those at risk for severe illness. This includes people who work in occupations that put them in regular contact with the public, such as nurses, doctors, construction workers, teachers, retail staff, delivery drivers, and other essential workers. High-risk individuals, including those above age 65, and those who suffer from health conditions such as obesity, heart disease, diabetes, and asthma, are also eligible to participate, officials said. Those interested in volunteering can visit Benchmark Research online and fill out a pre-screening form here. benchmarkresearch.net/participate. For more information, call 1-888-902-9605 or visit Benchmark Research at their San Angelo location at 3605 Executive Drive. CEO says you can't get COVID from vaccine study. Lacey stressed clinical trials pose little risk for volunteers developing COVID-19. The vaccine is made of dead, attenuated viruses, so there is zero chance in getting COVID, Lacey said. We've enrolled 28,000 patients over the last 15 years for vaccine studies, and we have yet to have one serious adverse health effect related to the drug. There are benefits and potential risks for participating in clinical trials, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Officials say it's possible you may get a new treatment for a disease before it's available to the public, but the new treatment could cause serious side effects or be uncomfortable. The history of clinical research is not perfect. Based on many years of experience and learning, Congress has passed laws to protect study participants. Today, every clinical investigator is required to monitor and make sure that every participant is safe, according to a statement made by U.S. health officials. If and when a vaccine for the coronavirus is eventually found, officials say it might take some convincing for residents wary of vaccines in general. The agencies that decide if a vaccine is ready and who gets it first are the Food and Drug Administration and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It is vital that the U.S. government communicate clearly with the American people about the data and science behind any new COVID-19 vaccine, said Dr. Michelle McMurray-Heath, president and CEO of the Biotechnology Innovation Organization. Lacey appeared to agree and encouraged people to proportion their opinions about vaccines based upon the available science. Everybody has a right to their own beliefs, but I believe what you should go by are the facts and the science, and not by rumors or innuendo, Lacey said. More about Mark Lacey. Lacey said he comes from a long line of San Angelo and Miles area businessmen. His grandfather owned several businesses in San Angelo, including a funeral home, and his father owned Harvester and Deer dealerships. I have a degree from the University of Texas, and I attended school in Germany for a year as an exchange student, Lacey said. I was also a special assistant to the Secretary of Transportation under Ronald Reagan. Officials with Benchmark Research said Lacey has worked in commercial real estate in Manhattan, and he later founded a company that performed communications audits. Eventually, he teamed up with a business partner with a background in clinical research and suggested they start a company focused on clinical research trials. In 1997, Benchmark Research opened a location in Fort Worth. 2 years later, Lacey opened a branch in San Angelo, his hometown. I wanted to bring back jobs to San Angelo, Lacey said. It makes me proud that San Angelo has representation in the international research industry. San Angelo woman creates petition to make pornography illegal, by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo resident has created a petition to make pornography illegal, which she hopes will help the fight against human sex trafficking. Sarah Olguin created the petition August 21st to end the legality of creating, distributing, and viewing of all pornography to help combat human sex trafficking. Pornography is extremely easily accessed in our country, the petition states. It has become commonplace in our modern technological world. According to the petition, the issue with pornography, beyond a religious standpoint, is it daily contributes to the sexual exploitation of children and possibly men and women. Though child pornography is already illegal in this country, it is my belief that the abolition of this industry as a whole would assist in ending human sex trafficking worldwide, the petition states. That is why I am asking my fellow Americans to stand up and end all aspects of this industry from being lawful. Please sign this petition now to help end sexual slavery for many innocent people all over the world. As of 1 p.m. August 25th, there were 7 signatures. The petition needs 100,000 signatures by September 20th to get a response from the White House. The petition can be found at petitions.whitehouse.gov. San Angelo families displaced by storm could lose pets. Here's How You Can Help, by Elena Edgen. After a Saturday storm left a trail of damages, some San Angelo families need help keeping their pets safe while repairs are done, according to Concho Valley Paws. Around 1:30 a.m., Saturday, August 22nd, a storm blew into San Angelo with wind gusts between 60 and 95 miles per hour. The storm left some homes and apartments damaged, which led to families being placed in hotels that did not allow pets. Several families have had to place their pets in emergency boarding, but will not have the money to continue boarding by the end of the week, according to Jenny Wilson, PAWS director. Without assistance, these families will be forced to make a devastating choice between shelter for themselves and their children or keeping their pet, Wilson said. We need help from our community. We need special volunteers to open their homes to owned pets who have been displaced because of the storm. Potential volunteers will be tasked with keeping pets safe until they can be reunited with their families. PAWS will make sure pets are vaccinated and spayed or neutered before placing them in a home. They will also provide veterinary care, food, and other supplies if needed. We just need someone to offer some love and shelter, Wilson said. Many of the affected families are from moderate-income homes and do not have the funds to pay to board their animals. Some have boarded their animals, but their resources will run out by week's end, so we anticipate the number of requests to double by week's end. As of noon Tuesday, PAWS had 12 pets looking for temporary homes. The cats and dogs are under 20 pounds, and some are from the same home. We would like to keep the pairs together if we can, Wilson said. Keeping them together will help keep behavioral issues down because they will have their friend there. People who want to house one of the pets should call Wilson at 325-656-3950. They will be required to apply as a foster and be approved, which should happen in less than 24 hours. If approved, people should plan to keep the pet for around a month. "We're telling everybody to plan on a month," Wilson said. "Animals from Sweetbriar Apartments may be longer. These families are dealing with everything from roofs being redone to parts of homes being crushed." For people who cannot take on any animals, PAWS is accepting donations. People can donate at cvpaws.org and note the donation as Storm, or mail a check to PAWS at P.O. Box 2604, San Angelo, Texas 76902, with the same note in the memo. These donations, if noted as Storm, will be used for storm relief only. The following articles I'll be reading were published Monday, August 24th. San Angelo ISD reports first positive COVID-19 case at elementary school, by Rosanna Aguilera. San Angelo ISD reported its first positive COVID-19 case at an elementary school Monday, August 24th. The individual is a staff member at San Jacinto Elementary, according to the news release. Due to the confidentiality requirements under HIPAA, FERPA, and ADA, we are unable to share staff and student names or other identifying information, the release stated. Any staff member or student reported to have been in close contact with the positive staff member or student will be contacted with additional information. The health and safety of our students and staff is our top priority. SAISD also announced Monday it will report positive staff and student COVID-19 cases on its website at saisd.org/COVID-19. Angelo State listed as one of nation's best colleges in Princeton Review, by Elena Edgen. Angelo State University has been named a best college for the 12th consecutive year, according to a university release. The Princeton Review released the Best 386 Colleges Annual College Guide on August 18th. In the guide, ASU was one of 14 Texas institutions featured. "To once again be recognized by the Princeton Review illustrates what I've always known about Angelo State," said Ronnie Hawkins, ASU president. "We have outstanding faculty and staff who provide our students with an excellent education and a quality student life experience." RJ's Barbecue adds second location in San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo barbecue restaurant opened its second location Monday. Since 2001, Charles and Joanne Thomas have owned and operated RJ Barbecue at 1405 North Bryant Boulevard. On Monday, RJ Barbecue Express opens at 101 East Avenue K and Oak Street. The new location will be run by family member Roman Thomas. "Same name, same smoke, fresh ideas," is the new restaurant's motto. The restaurant is open for drive-thru and walk-up orders from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday. Happy hour is from 2 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Burgers will be available on opening day. Call 325-659-4422 to place your order or for more information. Demonstrators raise awareness of trafficking, by Colin Murphy. Demonstrators held an event in front of the Tom Green County Courthouse on Saturday to raise awareness about child trafficking and what some said is a lack of oversight and punishment against perpetrators. About 30 demonstrators showed up for the event, holding signs and showing support for victims of child trafficking and sexual assault. One of the organizers of the event said, more needs to be done to protect children from traffickers and abuse. Jess Sanchez said legal authorities should hand down stiffer penalties when dealing with convicted traffickers and sex offenders. We need to get the message out that a pedophile or a sex offender should not be walking the streets, Sanchez said. It's just not fair. My son is in kindergarten and I'm scared. I can't even put his name on his backpack because it might make him an easy target. Education is key. Paying attention to signs of human trafficking is important. Human trafficking is such a big deal, and it's not being talked about. People don't think about what happens to the 20 or 30 years later, and victim blaming and victim shaming needs to stop. Learn more about registered sex offenders in Texas online at records.txdps.state.tx.us/sex-offender-registry. Storm did not spawn tornadoes, National Weather Service finds, by Jan Guadarrama. A preliminary report by the National Weather Service found no evidence a severe storm that moved through town Saturday morning produced tornadoes. The storm survey we conducted today shows that straight-line wind damage occurred from microbursts. No indications on radar or from the storm survey of a tornado, a statement from the National Weather Service noted. The National Weather Service conducted a storm survey Saturday morning that examined debris and damage from the storm that struck shortly after 1:30 a.m. Saturday. The survey noted the storm's path was roughly 10 miles and began at 1:30 a.m., about 2 miles northeast of San Angelo, and ended at 2:20 a.m., about 8 miles southwest of the city. The report stated the storm brought straight-line winds between 60 and 95 miles per hour across the city, uprooting large trees, snapping large branches, and knocking down utility poles, which resulted in widespread power outages. Radar clearly showed intense damaging thunderstorm downbursts impacting the city, the report stated. Some of the damage examined in the report included a damaged gasoline station canopy on the city's north side near Chadburn Street and Loop 306, a large power line down across Loop 306 and snapped utility pole, 3 utility poles damaged at Knickerbocker Road and Johnson Street, roof damage at apartments and a commercial building near Knickerbocker Road, tree limbs damaged in the College Hills neighborhood, damage at the KOA RV park near Lake Nasworthy, including downed tree limbs and uprooted trees, RV overturned at KOA. The report noted that the information is preliminary and subject to change pending final review. Read the full report online at https://rb.gy/ZU7BTD. Police arrest man in Colorado City kidnapping case by Jan Guadarrama. A man accused of kidnapping a child in Colorado City has turned himself in and was arrested in San Angelo, according to a police news release. On Friday, August 21st, an Amber Alert was issued for 14-month-old Clay Guzman of Colorado City, who was last seen about 12 a.m. Wednesday, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety. The suspect name in the alert was Matthew Guzman, 28, who was said to be driving a 2014 white Chevrolet Silverado pickup. After the child was taken, San Angelo police made several attempts to locate the toddler at possible locations in San Angelo. Just before 4 p.m. Saturday, San Angelo police received information that the suspect was in the 500 block of East Harris Avenue and wanted to turn himself in, according to a San Angelo Police Department news release. Officers responded and made contact with Matthew Guzman, who had Clay Guzman with him. Guzman was taken into custody without incident for a warrant issued by Colorado City Police. The child was in good health and turned over to family, a news release stated. Guzman was booked into the Tom Green County Detention Center at 5:47 p.m. Saturday on suspicion of aggravated kidnapping, assault on a family household member, impeding breathing circulation, and interference with child custody, according to jail records. Guzman remained jailed as of 11:30 a.m. Sunday, with bond set at $72,000, jail records indicated. The following articles I'll be reading now were published Sunday, August 23rd. The first two of these articles are front page articles from Sunday's paper and are slightly longer articles. Changes in store for Chadbourne Street by John Tufts. Three blocks of Chadbourne Street in downtown San Angelo are one step closer to getting a major facelift after the city unanimously approved, 7-0, an $8 million contract with a concrete company. On August 18th, City Council awarded $8,892,401.87 to Tyzak Concrete, the lowest of three bidders to begin Phase A reconstruction of San Angelo's downtown area, extending from the Chadbourne Bridge at the Concho River north to the intersection at Beauregard Avenue. "It's definitely going to be an aesthetic change to how the downtown area looks," city engineer Lance Overstreet said. The project calls for a pedestrian ramp from Chadbourne Street to the city's Riverwalk, as well as decorative lampposts, benches, bicycle racks, trash cans, and new designated spaces for art. Other amenities will include reconstructed intersections and crosswalks. As opposed to sidewalks with straight concrete lines, Overstreet showed architectural drawings to city officials of sidewalks that appeared to flow and meander down the road like a river. "It will be very pedestrian-friendly, as well as business-friendly and parking-friendly," Overstreet said. "We're very excited about this phase going through. It's really going to beautify the area." What drivers and business owners in the area should know. Overstreet told city council members the reconstruction project would be fairly invasive. "Pretty much a block at a time will be closed down," Overstreet said. "Unfortunately, because of construction of the roadway and sidewalk disturbance, it will probably lead to a significant amount of detours." City officials were told by Overstreet that efforts would be made to ensure the public would still have access to downtown San Angelo businesses in the area, but residents might have to walk half a city block while the project is underway. How the city will pay for the project. The Chadbourne Street Reconstruction Project is a joint venture between federal grant funding, COSADC, TIRZ, and other city departments, according to city documents. Funding sources for the project include Streets Bond, $3,356,740. TIRZ North, $205,294. 8-year allocation of 25%. TIRZ South, $1,582,543. 8-year allocation of 50%. COSADC, $3,750,000, $750,000 per year for 5 years. Stormwater, $241,000. Sewer Fund, $1,057,375. Water Fund, $976,734. Operations Testing, $100,000. HOT Fund, $50,000. TxDOT Grant, $1,960,335. When will the project begin? How long will it take? Overstreet told city council members major reconstruction work would probably be delayed until after the 2020 Christmas season in consideration to downtown San Angelo business owners and shoppers. Overstreet said smaller pocket sections of the area could begin reconstruction earlier, and the project could take as long as 18 months, beginning in 2021. Are your taxes going up? Here's how you can be sure. Rising appraisal prices could lead to higher bills. By John Tufts. School districts in the Tom Green County area are proposing to lower or keep their tax rates the same, but property owners still could see an increase in their bills. On Monday, officials with San Angelo Independent School District will hold a public meeting to discuss a new school budget that will determine the tax rate that property owners of the district will pay. Officials have proposed lowering the tax rate from $1.13 to $1.12 per every $100 district homes are valued. This doesn't mean that district residents will necessarily catch a break on their taxes. If the appraised value of a resident's property goes up more than officials lowered their tax rates, those residents will pay more money than last year. How to know if your taxes are going up? Texas law requires taxing entities to calculate a tax rate that would generate the previous year's revenue using the current year's valuations. It's called the effective tax rate, and its purpose is to help taxpayers evaluate whether their actual tax rate will be an increase, decrease, or remain neutral effectively. The effective tax rate is based on all of the property in the taxing entity's boundaries that existed the previous year and represents the average for many thousands of individual properties, each with appraised values that can fluctuate significantly. What residents should know is that if elected officials approve a rate lower than or the same as last year's rate, but higher than the effective tax rate, their taxes could increase based on the value of their property. How to figure out what your home has been appraised for in Tom Green County. Residents who want to know the taxable value of their property can do so by visiting the Tom Green County Appraisal District online or in person at 2302 Pulliam Street. The chief appraiser sends out a detailed notice of appraised value to property owners annually, which are typically mailed out mid-April. The notice of appraised value contains a description of a resident's property, its value, the exemptions, and an estimate of taxes that might be owed. As of Friday, August 21st, the Tom Green County Appraisal Office is closed to the public due to COVID-19, but a drive-through window is open at the west side of the building. For more information, call 325-658-5575. How to figure out what you'll owe to the school district. The formula to figure out what residents living in the San Angelo School District will owe in taxes is as follows. Residents can multiply their tax rate by the taxable value of their property, then divide by 100. If the proposed tax rate for San Angelo ISD is 1.12038, then residents with homes appraised at $150,000 will pay $1,680.57 in taxes to the district. How to figure out what you'll owe in taxes to the city of San Angelo. During a recent budget workshop, officials with the city of San Angelo directed staff to keep the tax rate in 2020 the same as last year at $0.776 per every $100 San Angelo homes are valued. The formula to figure out what area residents living in San Angelo will owe in taxes is as follows. Residents can multiply their tax rate by the taxable value of their property, then divide by 100. if the proposed tax rate for the city of San Angelo remains at $0.776, then residents with homes appraised at $150,000 will pay $1,164 in taxes to the city for the year. Tom Green County proposing to lower tax rate, but property tax revenue still going up. Officials on the Tom Green County Commissioner's Court recently proposed to decrease the total tax rate residents pay in 2020 by 0.002%, according to a public notice. In 2019, county residents paid 0.55117 per $100 of property value. Officials have proposed lowering the tax rate to $0.54980 in 2020. However, to generate the same revenue as last year, county officials could leave the tax rate at $0.53470, but that's less than the voter-approved tax rate of $0.54993. Last year in Tom Green County, the average taxable homestead value was $154,788. It rose to $158,496 in 2020, an increase of 2.4%. The total tax levy on all properties in the county also rose from $39.1 million last year to $40.5 million in 2020. How to figure out what you'll owe in county property taxes. The formula to figure out what Tom Green County residents will owe in property taxes is as follows. Multiply your tax rate by the taxable value of your property, then divide by 100. If the proposed tax rate for Tom Green County is $0.54980, residents with homes appraised at $150,000 will pay $825 in taxes to Tom Green County. What tax rates are other school districts proposing? Other school districts in the area are proposing the following tax rates. Cristoval ISD, $1.06 per every $100 district homes are valued. Public meeting at 7 p.m. August 26th in Cristoval High School Library, 20454 Ranch Road, Cristoval, Texas. Grape Creek ISD, $1.23 per every $100 district homes are valued. Public meeting at 6:30 p.m. August 25th in Gene Marsh Boardroom, 8207 U.S. Highway 87 North, San Angelo. Wall ISD, $1.23 per every $100 district homes are valued. Public meeting at 7 a.m. August 31st in the Admin Building, 8065 Highway 87, Loop 570 in Wall. SAISD refinances bond to save district taxpayers. San Angelo ISD recently refinanced a portion of its current school bond that resulted in an overall savings of $7.8 million to district taxpayers over the remaining life of SAISD bond payments through 2034, according to a district news release. This equates to just over $600,000 in savings per year beginning in the 2021-2022 school fiscal year, the release stated. During a July 2020 school board meeting, Assistant President of Business Support Services, Dr. George McFarland, proposed officials refinance a portion of its current school bond, which the Board of Trustees approved. SAISD originally passed a bond in 2008 for facility construction projects and improvements. In 2015, SAISD was able to lower the interest rates and refinance the bond, according to a news release. How to get involved and be heard. San Angelo ISD will hold a public meeting to vote on a budget and proposed tax rate Monday, August 24th at 5:45 p.m. in the SAISD Administration Building, 1621 University Avenue. The City of San Angelo will hold a public hearing and first reading of the proposed tax rate on Tuesday, September 15th, and then an adoption of the tax rate on Tuesday, September 29th. During a recent City Council meeting, officials said they were still working out the details and how residents can participate and provide feedback to the city, either in person or online. The Tom Green County Commissioner's Court will hold a public meeting about the proposed tax rate on Thursday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at the Commissioner's Court, 113 West Beauregard. Special note, a proposed tax rate for Tom Green County of $0.54980 is not greater than what voters approved earlier, a tax rate of $0.54993. As a result, Tom Green County is not required to hold an election at which voters may accept or reject the proposed tax rate. Residents can still express their support or opposition to the proposed tax rate by attending the August 27th meeting. San Angelo Police report toddler shot by sibling from staff reports. Charges may be pending after a 2-year-old was shot by a 3-year-old Saturday morning. San Angelo Police responded after 8 a.m. Saturday to a hotel at 410 West Avenue L after receiving a report about a shooting victim. When officers arrived, they found a 2-year-old with a single gunshot wound, the news release stated. The victim was transported to Shannon Medical Center by medics and then to Cook Children's Hospital for treatment. No information was provided to indicate that the victim was facing a life-threatening injury, the news release stated. Child Protective Services, along with San Angelo Police investigators, responded and discovered the child was shot by a 3-year-old sibling who was able to get access to the firearm. Criminal charges may be pending for not preventing access to the firearm by the children. However, no arrests were made at this time, the news release issued Saturday afternoon stated. Storm leaves trail of damage across city by Colin Murphy. An early morning storm Saturday left San Angelo residents cleaning up debris and utility workers scrambling to restore power to sections of the city. The storm struck parts of the city shortly after 1 a.m., with wind gusts reaching 85 miles per hour, according to the National Weather Service. Downed utility poles along Knickerbocker Road left power lines strewn across the street, which was closed down for repairs. At the Glazer Wholesale Warehouse on 306 Loop West, twisted fences were leaning toward the ground, while a large section of exterior wall had also been torn away. Workers at the scene said the roof of the facility also sustained significant damage. At the Bellagio apartment complex on the 2500 block of Sweetbriar Drive, large sections of roof were torn away and left in piles of debris around the buildings. Residents at the scene reported they knew of no injuries due to the storm. The American Red Cross said about 75 residents were displaced from 48 units at the complex. At the resort at Riverside Apartments on the 3300 block of North Bryant Boulevard, about 20 people were displaced from 11 units. Adam Wiley, meteorologist with the National Weather Service in San Angelo, said officials were still in the process of analyzing storm damage and other information to determine what happened. Wiley said as of Saturday afternoon, it was still too early to say whether a tornado had struck San Angelo. "We have one of our meteorologists driving around town looking at the damage," Wiley said. "Once he gets back, we will be able to look at the data. We had very strong winds come through. We had a gust of 85 miles per hour at the airport at around 2 a.m. in the morning. This storm is consistent with really strong straight line or downburst winds. We haven't confirmed anything like a tornado. As of right now, we haven't had any confirmation that there was a tornado that touched down. We are also not seeing any evidence on the radar that there was a tornado. And now here's the weekly column from Allison Watkins, the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. For spring wildflowers, begin with seeds in the fall. Some plants are at their peak in the hot, dry summer weather, but many are struggling. Never fear, fall is on the way. It will be a slow, gradual change to cooler weather, but fall is the best season for many West Texas plants. There are numerous landscaping and gardening tasks that can be done around September through November, such as planting trees and shrubs, spring bulbs, and spring wildflowers. So while early mornings are still enjoyable for getting out and working in the yard, now is also a good time to escape the heat, enjoy the air conditioning, and look through seed catalogs to get ready for a busy fall planting time. Spring wildflowers can be a beautiful addition to a home landscape or planted in a nearby field, and the time to plant for that future enjoyment is in the fall. Whether planting at home or in a pasture, there are some steps to take to ensure good germination and growth. While it certainly is an option to just toss the seeds out and see what happens, it's worth it to make some extra effort because the weather doesn't always cooperate enough to get a good wildflower show. First, be sure to get the seeds from a reliable source. Seeds should be fresh to ensure good germination, so purchase from a trustworthy company. If planting in flower beds, remove any weeds and lightly till the soil. Good soil-to-seed contact is important for good germination, so try to loosen up the soil if possible. If planting a variety of seeds with different sizes, mix them one part seed to four parts sand in order to have even distribution. A simple handheld fertilizer spreader can be used. Once the seeds are spread, tamp them down and water them in lightly. After that, rainfall should be sufficient, but if there is a drought during the fall, lightly water them occasionally. Throughout the fall and winter, try to pull broadleaf weeds to prevent them from competing with the wildflowers. Check out an online or printed wildflower catalog. They usually have pictures of what the small seedlings look like, so they aren't mistaken for weeds. Some good wildflowers to plant in the Concho Valley include Mexican hat, black-eyed Susan, blue bonnet, Indian blanket, and Coreopsis. The Master Gardener's annual Fall Symposium educational event has been moved online this year. Please join us Saturday, September 12th from 9 a.m. to noon to hear from three top speakers. For more information and to sign up, visit txmg.org/Concho Valley. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.